Welcome once again to the Dynasty of Dads weekly podcast. I am your host, Bearded Brian, and tonight's episode is titled Make Me Proud. Have you ever used that phrase, make me proud, to your kids? What if I told you we might be doing more harm than good in saying that? We're trying to be encouraging, but maybe there are some negative implications to saying that to our kids. So let's discuss that tonight. Sit back, relax, and let's become better parents together. All right, remember, as always, the goal of this podcast is to redefine the modern day dad. We feel like there are two overused stereotypes for dads: the emotionless provider that is never home, or the incompetent sitcom dad. But that's not who we are, so don't let these stereotypes define you as a parent. As always, we want to hear from you. You can email us, dynastyofdads@gmail.com. Text or call us. Leave us a voicemail, 845-320-3023. Or the most fun, join us live on YouTube. We record these podcasts live every Wednesday at 8:30 Eastern. And speaking of us, oh man, am I excited to welcome back, finally, Zach, aka Zach the Girl Dad. I missed you, man. Welcome back.
Hey, man, I'm so excited to be back. It's been a long couple of weeks not doing this thing.
Too long, man. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah, I mean, just so everybody who didn't know, it's just we had a lot of family things going on along with moving. And it was so much going on at once. I needed to take a step back, but I'm so glad to be back to be with all y'all. Thank you so much for listening.
We've been hearing from our audience that they're like, where's Zach? I don't like this no Zach content. So everyone is very, very excited to have you back. And congratulations on the house. I know there were some hiccups along the way, but it'll all work out. I promise, man. We normally started every episode with, how was your dad week? But as I mentioned in the intro, this is about redefining the modern day dad. So I want to have that question be a little bit more specific. And instead of just asking broad, how was your dad week? I want to ask, how was your modern day dad week? And I want to hear things that you've done to help define the modern day dad, or things that maybe you're doing wrong and you could do better, things that you did well and you're really proud of and you want to share. Let's motivate each other to redefine that modern day dad. So I'm going to start, Zach, while you get some time to think. My daughter has been really sick this week. And so my wife and I have been taking turns staying home with her. I was home on Monday working from home and taking care of her. And my wife, one of her pet peeves is she doesn't like to come home from a long day at work to a messy house. Even though you and I know, stay-at-home parents, it's hard to cook dinner, cook lunch, play, have the toys, and then clean up after yourself. Sometimes it's hard, especially when your kid is sick and they're cranky and they're not napping. It is tough, but that is a pet peeve of my wife, and I want to respect that, and I really wanted to make sure, okay, it is my day to prove myself. I'm working from home. I'm taking care, and I want to be a good modern day dad and a stay-at-home parent. So I spent like a good hour, 2 hours making sure, okay, after dinner was all cleaned up and put the dishes away. I ran into her playroom, put the toys that we were playing with away. And I was so proud of myself for my wife to come home. And I didn't say anything, you know, and she comes home, puts her stuff down, and she doesn't say anything either, but she progresses to clean and continues to clean for about 2 hours behind me. And I'm just watching this and I don't say anything. And then when she's done, I said, "Hun, I got to be honest. I really didn't want you to come home into a messy house. And so I tried to clean and I'm floored that you've continued to clean." And her jaw dropped and said, "Wait, this was clean? This was your idea of me coming home to a clean house?" And I bring this story up that I actually tried and put an effort, and I am still nowhere where I need to be in that modern day dad. And a stay-at-home parent, I would fail miserably. So this is my way of A, apologizing to my wife, and then B, committing to you that when I do this again, I'm going to work even harder. And I watched what she cleaned that I missed, And it is my responsibility to step it up next time and be a better modern day dad. And I am committed to do that. So learning from your mistakes is tonight's theme and lesson from what I've learned. How about you, Zach? How was your modern day dad?
For me, everybody that we were talking about earlier, how we moved, went through a lot of hiccups and all that. So with paperwork, inspections, it's a new construction home. So there's a lot of balls up in the air for everything that's going on in these last couple of days. So all of that was added on top of the stress of moving into the house. So for me, I had a really short fuse. I was getting easily angered at everything and everyone. And so I'm going to take this moment to apologize to my wife and my girls for how easily irritable I was during the whole moving process. Need to do a better job at taking a step back, taking in a deep breath, and realizing, hey, some of these things are just out of our control. There's nothing really we can handle. Don't really need to take it out on anyone because there's nothing that we could have done about it. So my lesson for this past week is just to take a deep breath, step back, and realize that, hey, maybe not everything is such a big deal that I need to make it out to be.
It's not easy though, man.
It really isn't. It's something I struggle with so much.
On the positive, some days you could have the most stressful day at work and you come home and one of your little ones comes running up to you. Daddy, daddy, I missed you. And all that stress melts away, mm-hmm. You know? So like I was watching you right before we went live, Zach and I were on Zoom and he was holding his little infant and putting her to bed. And man, just first of all, I am jealous. I am missing that time. I miss those mm-hmm. years.
Yeah, it's really nice.
All right, let's jump right into today's topic. We talk about the word proud as parents all the time. You know, we want to be proud of our kids. We want to make them proud. And so this article, when I first saw the word proud in the top title, I was like, all right, you know, like I like being proud of my kids. And it caught me off guard that it was a concept that I hadn't really thought of before. And I thought it was a really interesting read, and I thought it would be a really great conversation. So I'm going to read a little excerpt from this article to give you a better idea of what I mean. When we say, make us proud, we say it casually, and we mean well. Hey, make us proud out there, kiddo, when they're trouting out on the soccer field. Or make your parents proud, we say to them when they're heading off to college. And when they do great stuff, we reward them by letting them know how proud they made us. We want this to motivate them. We use it often unconsciously to hold them accountable. But is that the way it should go? Does it sort of imply that they owe us something? Or that our support is not unconditional unless they make us proud? Each of us should act as if we are being watched or judged or scrutinized, because we are. We should be proud of them always for everything that they do. They shouldn't have to work to make us proud. So that was a little blurb from the article. And it really hit me that, you know, running out onto the field and say, hey, make me proud out there, son or daughter or whatever. We do it to motivate them and to get them excited. But is that really what we should be saying? Should we be saying, hey, have fun out there or try your best or something like that? Again, I never really thought about it, that make us proud. Do they really need to make us proud? Or what is the definition of making us proud? Maybe just trying your best is making us proud, and maybe we're not clearly defining that for them.
I mean, honestly, I think that if you're going off the definition of make us proud, it's different. It's circumstantial for every single child. Like, let's throw education out there. Some parents will be proud that their kid was able to get a C or a B, whereas other ones expect an A.
Right.
With sports, some parents will be excited if you get an assist, whereas other ones will be upset if you don't score 20 points. So, I mean, it's different for every single kid and their abilities.
But I think part of the problem, or the thing that this article is raising awareness to, which I never really thought of, is defining what that definition is to your kids and being very transparent. So for example, if the kid is running out on the soccer field and you just say, make us proud, and normally they score, I'm making it up, 3 goals a game, and then that game they don't score any goals, but the team won. Are they going to feel, oh, I let my father down because he said, make me proud. And he's normally proud when I score three goals and I didn't do that. And obviously for us, that is not our intent. That is not what we meant by that. But maybe by not defining what we mean by make us proud, they're adding their own expectations on themselves, if that makes
sense.
Right,
yeah. It brings back a conversation that my parents would have with me. And it was one of those like joking conversations. I don't know if it was entirely like an expectation they had, but it was on the way to a baseball game. They'd be like, well, how many runs are you going to score today? How many people are you going to strike out and stuff like that?
So let me ask you, would that motivate you or would that add pressure?
For me, and it depends on how you look at pressure. There's like positive pressure and negative pressure. So the what we're talking about could result in possible negative pressure. But for me, like when my brother would come to one of my baseball games, that was a positive pressure for me because I'd be like, oh, he never came to my games. Mm-hmm. I want to perform better so that he can see how great I do. And it's not like if I do bad, he'll make fun of me. I knew he wouldn't do that. But it was oh, man, he's here. I'm hyped up. I'm going to do this.
And for me, my mom always did a good job. And this is something that I want to instill on my kids was she never had a make me proud as far as a category of activity, meaning whether it's a sport or a creative or whatever. But she exposed me to, you name it, I went to a camp for it as a kid, you know, whether it be karate or theater or soccer or you name it, I did it. And I loved that it gave me exposure to a whole range of different activities and stuff. And it was pretty clear what made her proud was me finding what made me happy and comfortable. And so what that was and how it was defined for me may be very different than my sister's. And that's something that she instilled on me. And I really hope I do for my kids or right now, my daughter is showing her that to earn my pride, that's almost the wrong words for it. You're going to make me proud kind of no matter what, but my expectation of you is to find the things that you are proud yourself of doing. Like if you're doing soccer and you're proud of the work and contribution that you're putting onto the field, then I'm going to be proud of you. And if you truly are proud of your work, and I always bite my tongue because I never want to get political or controversial, mm-hmm. but we live in a society that it's like everyone gets a trophy and we're not going to keep score because as long as you tried, you win. I think trying your best and losing is a healthy experience because in real life, you are going to try your best for things. You are going to apply for a job and not get it. You are going to try out for a team and not make it. Like that stuff is going to happen. Or you may not try your best and just feel entitled that, oh, I'm going to just show up for tryouts and make the team because everyone makes the team. And maybe that's not what I want my daughter to be experiencing. You know, I've talked about my background in theater. It's one of the most humbling experiences being in a room of people that are all trying to try out for the same part. And you have to get up on stage and sing and dance in front of everyone and be judged and sometimes not get the part that you want. And I think that's a very healthy experience to go through.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm not a big fan of the participation trophies either. That's just me personally, because I'm also a very competitive person. I will say, I'll just play a little bit of devil's advocate here. I was waiting for my car to get worked on when they were showing this TV show. It was about Sweden and doing Winter Olympics. And they had talked about most of their competitors that represented Sweden weren't even like high school athletes. Like they did not make their high school teams. They were not good enough to be on their high school teams. But they did the whole, we're not going to keep score until high school levels. So all the way through it, it was just about playing and having fun. and you had these people playing and having fun. Then they hit high school when they could understand competition, is how they worded it.
Right.
With keeping score. And those people that didn't make it, they still had the passion to keep growing and playing the sport because they loved it rather than they wanted to compete with it.
Right.
They gained that competitiveness as an adult and kept thriving throughout the sport and made their way into the Olympics. So they were late bloomers, whereas like here, you have all these people that aren't going to make it in high school. They're going to give up right away. They're not going to show their late blossoms.
Interesting. Maybe this is a better way of saying it. I think that sometimes we are afraid to allow our kids to experience rejection, whether it be not making the team or not winning the trophy or whatever. And I think there's a balance. Like, so for example, hypothetically, if there was a CYO league and, you know, I'm making up, my 8-year-old was involved in soccer. And at the end of the year, everyone gets a participation trophy because most important is you did it for a whole year and you stayed committed and you stayed as a team. And we want to celebrate that. And we want to get excited about that. I love that. I'm all about that.
Ooh, I agree.
But then maybe what team did perform the best, and maybe they also get a medal or something, like to celebrate, hey, this is the team that really worked hard and achieved, you know, that one, or however you want to define that. But more importantly, everyone gets to be celebrated that, you know, they participated and stuff. So I don't want to sound like I'm anti-participation trophies. I do think that that is a good thing. And again, age is a thing, but you brought up a really, really great point of, I think we need to find a balance of participation and supporting the love of the game, but also not shying away from competition, and there will be winners or losers. And I think that's okay. We have to figure out what age we expose them to with that. I'm not going to go and call my 3-year-old a loser for missing a basketball shot or whatever, but.
Yeah, because I think like T-ball, they already got like tournaments and everything like that going on. And there's 5-year-olds and I'm like, they're too young to like completely understand that. Yeah. Like, I mean, they understand winning and losing, but like, there's so much more to winning and losing. Because there's one of my favorite movie scenes is from the Mighty Ducks, the third movie.
Yep.
Is they go out and play their first game and they tie. And so, and it was a terrible tie. They were up 9-0. And then the third quarter comes, and then all of a sudden the other team scores 9 and they end in a tie. So the coach is walking out, and the chancellor of the academy comes up to him and was like, hey, at least you didn't get a loss. He's like, actually, I would have preferred a loss over a tie. And he was like, the chancellor just looks at him. He's like, you can learn something from a loss. You're just participating if it's a tie.
I think you helped define kind of, so maybe it's not the participation trophy that I have a hard time with. It's the not keeping score, maybe, is what bothers me a little bit more. And what I mean by that is, if we instill a love for the game, and again, I'm using sports and love for the game as a broad, it could be theater, it could be whatever, but if we instill a love and a passion for doing what we do, if the kids are not having fun because of a loss, then it's something that we are doing wrong as parents or as coaches, that we need to instill that it's not the win that makes it fun. It's the teamwork. It's the camaraderie. It's the love of the sport that makes it fun.
And to add on to that, there was at one point, I think it was the final season of baseball I played. We were on a winning streak. So we won probably like 8 games in a row. And the coach.
And how old
like,
were you at this point?
I was 15.
Okay.
So we were playing, we were on a winning streak. And I think it was like 4 games into the winning streak. My coach was like, you know, obviously we have something going for us. Let's not even do any practices anymore because we figured it out. So we went on, got up to 12 games, and then all of a sudden we hit a 4-game losing streak. And it was a bad losing streak. Like we were getting, we were being blown out by 10 runs or more.
Wow.
So then he was like, you know what? Obviously we have to learn something. Let's bring the practices back. And so we went out to the practices and he was like, these are the things that we're struggling with. These are the things we need to learn. if we learn these things, we'll get back on the winning streak. And it happened.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that it was the fundamentals that were lacking, or do you think it was a cockiness that we're so good we don't even have to practice that contributed to that losing streak?
I want to say, wow, my voice cracked really bad.
I saw that.
I want to say it was the combination of when we were showing up to games, we were starting to get lazy with our warm-ups. We were just going out there like, oh, we can get another win. It's not going to be that big of a deal.
Yeah.
Oh, we beat this team before. We can beat them again. So, yeah, I'll agree with that.
Yeah. And so maybe that's where, when it comes to parents and going back to that proud element, I think regardless of if everyone gets a trophy, that's fine, or if they're keeping score or if they're not, but I think we have to make it very clear to our kids what makes us proud is not the win-loss record, even if they are keeping score. What makes us proud is that they genuinely feel that they tried their hardest and put in a good effort and had fun doing so. And I think if we really emphasize that it's for the love of the game, it's the love of the sport, and the fact that you are trying harder, because in a way that I think understanding whether you won or lost, there could be kids that, like you said, like go in cocky and are still having fun or whatever, but don't understand, hey, you still have to try hard. And you still, if you're not practicing, you still have to be humble about your quality of play and still kind of take it seriously, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, you have to put the effort in to get the win.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And to go back, I want to go back to a conversation we were having just a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
About when I was kind of confused on if my parents were joking or whatnot with the whole, hey, how many strikeouts you're going to get today? How many runs you're going to score? So later on, that was happening when I was like 9 or 10. But when I got to 13, it was the championship tournament, and I broke my thumb during the second game of the tournament. So I was not going to be able to complete the team or complete the season. And I was so down on myself. So we went to the hospital that night, got the x-rays back, found out it was broken, and I immediately started crying, and I felt like I let down my parents. And that's when I realized that they weren't proud of the success. They were proud of me having fun. They told me, they're like, you know, there's always next season. You did a great job this season. All we have to do is just root on your team. Hopefully they can win it out. And so like they were not disappointed in me for that situation, for the bad decision I made to cause my thumb to break.
Yeah.
But I did realize, hey, they were proud of me being me, not me contributing so well to the game.
But I'm glad you brought up that story, because I think for parents that are listening, it is important to understand that even if we don't aggressively or proactively say, make me proud out there or whatever, some of these emotions that you dealt with as a kid, our kids may be dealing with and just not vocalizing. And we have to try to be proactive and maybe responsive. Like, did you say something about, oh, I broke my thumb, I'm letting you guys down? Or did they just sense it?
I think they sensed it, because they brought up the conversation, because they saw the tears, and they immediately went into that conversation.
But that's really healthy, and I'm so glad that they did that. And I think that's what we need to do as parents, is try to be attuned to these feelings. I think my dad did a great job as well. So I will be the first to admit, he was a very, very successful football player his whole life. He got recruited out of high school. He went to Ivy League for football. So me playing football, part of it was like I was born and raised watching football. I knew the history of my dad watching football. And so even though there was zero pressure from him to play football, like I wanted to, like, I'm going to continue the family legacy. And I will be the first to admit, I was not good. I was not very good at football. And my dad would laugh and he would go, I'm watching you on the field and you're just too nice. And I'm like, yeah. like if the guy across from me was like, oh man, I really need to make this tackle, I'd be like, oh, I feel bad for him. Here you go. I just was too nice for football and it just didn't work. But I think my dad was proud that I tried, but also like I never really felt responsible to work my butt off. Like I never felt that added pressure, but I easily could have, because again, just football in general was such a big part of my upbringing. Other kids could have easily felt responsible and pressured to, I need to succeed in this sport in order to make my dad proud. And if I don't, then he's not going to be proud of me. Luckily, I never felt that way, but I could easily see myself feeling that way, if that makes sense. So exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, because he definitely could have lived his passion through you at that point.
Right. He could have easily been trying to motivate me and stuff, but like if he said stuff like make me proud out there, I know he would have had the right intentions. But I think maybe in hindsight, like after reading this article, I was like, man, if he said that, maybe I would have felt more pressure to be better at football because he's saying make me proud out there, son. And that was that he didn't do that, and that wouldn't have been his intention, but it's something to be cognizant of. But also my mother exposing me to a wide variety of things at a young age, it was very clear football was just the lowest on that priority list. Like I think I was better at theater and basketball and I liked it more than I did football, and they saw that. And so I think they respected that, oh, I'm doing this because I do love the sport. I grew up watching the sport. I love my teammates and I love the camaraderie, but I have zero interest in this continuing past high school. My favorite time of the episode. Let's jump right into the Dynasty of Dads joke of the week. Zach, I gotta tell you, I have been missing this with you. I am excited to have you back and jump into our phenomenal dad joke. For today, what is your dad joke?
So what did the fisherman say to the magician?
I don't know what.
Pick a cod, any cod.
Oh, I love that one. I'm a magician, so I love that one. That was great. All right. If April showers bring May flowers, what do May flowers bring?
What?
Pilgrims. Mayflower? The Mayflower? Got it?
Mayflowers, wow.
A joke is not good if you have to explain it, but that's for our history buffs in the room.
Yeah, Taylor would have loved that one.
There you go. Nice. All right. Well, that's it. Zach, thank you so much. It's so, so good to have you back. Most important, how can people find us?
Yeah, I'm glad I was finally able to make another appearance. But yeah, everybody, you can find us on TikTok at Zach the Girl Dad, as well as Zach the Girl Dad on Instagram. You can also find Bearded_Brian on TikTok and Instagram as well. Send us an email, send us a text, something, so you can get in contact with us so we can get you involved in the next podcast.
Love it. Thank you. And before we go, we want to give a special thank you to our Patreons. Karina, the host of the Birth and Stuff podcast, Alex, a.k.a. Daddy Shark 92 on TikTok, and our top contributor, Grace. Thank you guys so much. We couldn't do what we do without you. And if you want to join this amazing community, take a moment to check it out. Patreon.com/Dynasty of Dads. It starts as little as $2 a month. You can think about it like buy us a cup of coffee once a month. Not that big of a deal. And it means the world to us. And you get really cool perks like joining our private Discord community, some swag, a bunch of other things. It's really great. And just the pride that you are celebrating the modern day dad. Zach, thank you so much. Welcome back. Congratulations on the house. I'm excited to hear more about it in the future. Anything else before we wrap it up?
Yeah, absolutely. One more final thing. Please definitely leave us some reviews on Apple Podcasts or anywhere where you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you.
Love
but yeah, no, other than that, I'm happy to be back. Glad to be back here regularly. And I'm happy to see your face again, Brent.
Same here, man. And I like the battling Batman shirts. I love it.
I know. We always find a way to match.
We do. I'm proud of us. All right, man. Well, everybody else, thank you. Have a good night, and let's continue to be better parents together. Good night.
Bye, guys.